Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. And thank you, Lord, that your word, Lord, is going to minister to us life. We thank you. We go to it with an open heart, that we may be able to receive it and put it to work in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, we have been seeing what really God wants to do in our lives. The way he wants to work in us, the way he wants to transform us and empower us to demonstrate to the world that we are your children, his children, that he is our Father, and that we represent him, we work for him, and we have a relationship with him that is not just a Sunday time of manifestation. It's an ongoing relationship in which he always lives in us, dwells in us, works through us, and accomplishes purposes through us. Amen? Now we are going to see some things that may be the basis to bring about this manifestation. Because, you know, we can be agreeing theologically with those words and those scriptures. We can agree theologically with what the promises of God are concerning that. But there is a component there that has to do with us. Has to do with the way we respond to the truth that God is in us and that works in us. And really, to bring about the manifestation of sonship within us, the basic element beside first the knowledge. You see, there are the three parts I was sharing last Thursday about. There is a question of knowing, there is a question of doing, and there is a question of being. There are three phases on our learning process, our transformation process. If we don't know that God wants to save us, we can't be saved. If we don't know that God wants to heal us, we cannot be healed by him. If we don't know that he wants us to become his children, his sons, and manifest the same thing that Jesus was doing in his life, we cannot come into that dimension. But knowing is not enough. We have to start implementing that in our life. We have to start doing things that are in agreement with the scriptures. We have to start doing what the word says, because otherwise it's empty theology, empty ideas that don't do anything. There is no manifestation of that within us. And we will start to implement those scriptures, believing them and implementing them. Believing them is not enough. When you really believe them, they are going to be manifested in our life. And when we start manifesting those things, at the beginning, it may not be that easy. It may not be, you know, may feel like it's not really you. And you are there kind of going through the motions. But if you don't go to that, you see, yes, it's just the mind that needs to be renewed. And that, you know, in your heart, actually, you already have it. You know, so often they say, people say, you know, that it is in our mind and has to get in our heart. Actually, often it's just the opposite. See, your heart, when you're born again, is being transformed, is changed. It's your mind that is messed up yet. And that needs to be lined up. They need to be aligning itself with the Word of God so that you are actually, your reaction, your soul is lining up too. And so your feeling, your emotion, your will are going all in that direction. When that takes place, then your mind and your heart is moving in the same agreement, your body is going to go along with it. And so that we, the thing we have to start doing, we have to start implementing those things, not just saying, I believe it. He said, you know, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We should start laying hands on the sick, expecting them to recover, even if, you know, nothing appears to happen on the moment, because we don't go by the things that appear. We don't go by the physical thing. We go by what the Word of God says. If he said it, we believe it. and we implement it. Amen? So obedience to the word is very important. This is the way we mature from being children to being son. From the way we mature from being, just being told what to do to what is the natural thing to do in us. So that we can start being the people that God wants us to be. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 says very clearly, "And now I say that the heirs, as long as he's a child," and here the word child in Greek is nephios, and he says one who cannot speak. I mean, one cannot speak on his own. He's not necessarily so child to the point that he cannot say any word. You know, it's just that cannot say really, that take a position for themselves. When a child knows, he has to be told what to do because goes all over the place. So this is a place where you have to, you know, from that position in which we are child, you know, says here, because the child does not differ too much from a slave, from a servant. Why? Because, and this is the word there, is for bond servant. That actually is somebody that has to be told what to do. Well, when you have to be told what to do, really, that means you don't know it yourself, and you really, your mind is somewhere else. Okay? But when instead, you know, we are children, are sons of God, we think the way God thinks, we want what God wants, we feel the same way that God feels, and so we do the things that God would do. This is what has to happen. So, he says, does not differ too much from a slave, though he is Lord of all. It's interesting. He's talking about us being Lord of all. Or, you know, owners of all. We have everything. You know, we have been given to us everything. Everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything in the world, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 says very clearly, "Therefore, Lord, let not one boast in man. All things are yours. All things are yours." Can you say, "All things are mine"?
All things are mine.
Amen. But you have to believe it. I mean, you know, we have to see a way you apply that to yourself. Whether Paul or Apollos, and Cephas, that means a different theology, different approach to ministry, or the world of life, the world of or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are ours. Do you feel like all things are yours? That's the thing that we had to start. You see, our feelings, our emotions, our thinking has to line up with the Word of God. And the only way they're going to line up with the Word of God is that we have to start accepting it, believing it, and acting like it. I remember, you know, John G. Lake, one of the things he said, you know, that we, let me see if I remember the exact words, that is human nature for us, that it's easier to act into believing than to believe into acting. Did you get what I said? Acting into believing, you first act, then you believe, then to believe to act. See, there is an implication there. You know, he was somebody that actually did stuff. Wasn't talking about it. He was getting results. And the reason why I really think is because he was implementing this principle that I'm giving you now. See, at the beginning, maybe a bit of an effort to actually do the things that you should be doing because they are not in alignment with everything within yourself that need to be modified. But when you start modifying the outside, the inside get modified too. You start lining up with it. So when you start obeying the word, even if you maybe understand it not completely, then the revelation and the understanding comes because you are actually doing the word. And that aligns up with the, you know, James that says, you know, unless you are a doer of the word, you are going to end up deceiving yourself. Okay. So, we want to move from a child to a son. From being told what to do to live in the inheritance that we have. To start manifesting the sonship inside us so that we can get the results that Jesus said we should be getting. That the things that he said, you know, the works that I do, you shall do also even greater works because I go to the Father. He went to the Father. You see, he said, expedient. It's expedient that I go to the Father. You know, his ministry didn't last very long. 3 years, essentially. Say, well, you know, why didn't stick around longer? I mean, people say, you know, I would like to be, you know, at the time when Jesus was around. I give you a revelation. Jesus is around right now. You see, he himself said, you know, it's better that I go so that I can send the helper to you. So you don't need to be there in one place to be with him. He's there with you wherever you go. And we have to start believing that and we have to start acting like it. He's inside you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit that is your helper, your partner, your one that is there to back you up and to enable you to do all the things that you had to do. Are you following me? I mean, but you have to believe it and start living like it. Hallelujah. You know, it goes on, says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 2, says there, you know, by his, you know, the although he's Lord of all, you know, but in theory, but he's under a guardian and a steward. Okay, who do you think the guardian and the stewards are for us? At that time, he was talking about, you know, specifically on these scriptures, was talking about the law that was the guardian and the steward for them to tell you what to do. See, you see, but when you become a son, you don't need to know anymore the law because the law is written in your heart. So you don't need to be there checking out that you just fill up all the different things and say, okay, did I do it? No, you naturally are going to manifest the things that God wants you to do because the Spirit is inside you and has changed you so that you start having the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Do you see how different, how releasing, how empowering that is? It's not that you go and do whatever you want to do. You do what the Father wants you to do. It's not that, you know, this is not, you know, that whatever you do is fine because you're born again. Forget it. You see that lots of stuff that people do after born again are really messy. Even after many years. That is not it. That's deception. See, it's not that the grace of God makes you do everything right. And God looks always on the other side. God wants to correct you. God wants to guide you. God to develop you into the people that are, that, you know, when somebody sees you, they say, you know, oh, I see Jesus. Because he's behaving just like he did. And they may not like you because they're going to be feeling condemned. They should feel condemned. Not because you're going around shouting that you babble on their throat, but because they can see that in you there is a manifestation of holiness. That is not a religious facade, it's a reality that you live in. And God manifests himself through you. Hallelujah. So, You know, today, the things, you know, are people maybe that are guiding you, that are helping you, that are guiding you into following the thing, and sometimes they correct you. You know, correction is a word that today the church doesn't like to talk about. You cannot have church properly without correction. Just read the epistles. The epistles are mostly on correction. That's a word everybody, you know, you try to do it. I actually put something on Facebook, on somebody from, not from me, from somebody else, on this topic. Just, I don't know if you got it, but if you have a Facebook account, just go and check it out. I copied it there. Anyway, the thing is, you know, that we are under guardian or under direction, because we need direction yet, until the appointed time of the Father. The appointed time of the Father is when you start manifesting the sonship. So we are not anymore children subjected to the bondage of under the element of the world, the thinking of the world, the different things that the world influences us. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the obedience is really the key. I mean, this is not a topic that is very popular today, is it? The thing is, thou was going to make the difference. Thou was going to usher you inside the kingdom in a way that the manifestation of, you know, the kingdom of God in your life. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 5, talks about Jesus and how he achieved the purposes that he was going for. Chapter 5, verse 8 says, Jesus, that's I am not enough because I'm not reading what happened before, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He didn't suffer sickness because he was going to get sick. He didn't suffer the things that the world say, consider sick, you know, that we should suffer it so that we can prove to God that we are, you know, I don't know what. The thing is, you know, he suffered is really, is the things that, you know, he suffered sickness for us. He took it from us so that we don't need to take it. He suffered sin from us because he was sinless. And so he took the consequences of our sins on himself so that we don't need to take them. He took our place. And because he took our place, we don't have to go through those things. Otherwise, he wasted his time. He did it so that we may be free. Not only that, but he needed so that we may be able to have the Holy Spirit in us the way he had it when he came down. So that the Holy Spirit could work through us the same way as it worked in him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. He suffered the things that the world opposed him. Rejection. That definitely so. And we are going, if you are following him, you're going to get rejected by the world. That's the thing that we are going to, you know. But what happened as a result of that, and having been perfected or matured, he became the author and eternal salvation to all who obey him. You see, the word says, doesn't say to all who say, confess, you know, Jesus is, you know, I'm saved because I just Jesus is Lord. It says to all. I'm reading again. Because he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Isn't that clear? That's right. So, this is really, you know, the things that we had to come to understand, that we had to come to appreciate and receive. We have to be willing to move into that reality. Okay. And, you know, even Jesus himself, when he was teaching, preaching, you know, says the same thing. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, says, many will say to me on this day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did you, and through your name, throw out demons, and through your name did many wonderful works. So evidently these people were doing some spiritual manifestation. And then I will say to them, I never knew you, depart me, you worker of lawlessness or iniquity. So you see, the fact that even we do things is not really meaningful for being accepted as sons. Now, there are some big implications here that I'm not going to cover because we don't have even the time. But we can move into a dimension of power that is actually not godly. Even doing things in his name that are really not his way doing it. But God will move anyway because he loves the people that we are ministering to. You can take your own conclusions for there. But really, you know, the obedience, you see, this is evidence, the gifts. You know what Paul said, you can have faith to move a mountain, but if you have no love, it's not that it doesn't produce any things. For you, there's not going to be any advantage. Amen? So, there are implications, consequences for acting in obedience. And this is the thing we have to learn. That's the way really not, you know, we can grow with them, develop, but we mature as the Son. So we can really start to hear from God and start following Him and doing His job, His work. You know, doing our Father's work. That's what you want, not a servant, but a sons. A servant needs to be told all the time what to do. But the son is doing the father business. The father business is his business. That's what Jesus said, because Jesus was a real son. And he made to make us real sons. So, let me see here. Not much time left. We had to. Okay. So, you see, there are acting on obedience produces some results that are not just external results, but internal results. We get understanding and we get transformation. We become. It's not a question of acting anymore. It's a question of being sons. But when you are a son, you start manifesting sonship. Okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, what promises? All the promises we've been talking about before. I mean, the fact that we become son, the fact that we, you know, is accepted, the fact that he transforms us, the fact that he empowers us, the fact that he takes care of us, that everything that he has. He's our healer, our provider, our everything. Our deliverer. Hallelujah. Our strength. So we have all these promises. Let us. Now, he's shifted the things. From before, he's talking about what he's going to do. Let's see what we have to do. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and of the flesh and of the spirit. I mean, you know the scripture not many people preach about. Why? Because you lose people when you start preaching this stuff. And they don't like to lose people. The thing is, you don't lose people that don't want to follow God anyway. Hello? So you're not doing your job. It's not a question of keeping your views full or filled. It's a question of getting people transformed. And help people to get the work that what God wants to do in them. Would you agree with that? All right. Okay, so cleanse ourselves, you know, talking about with Christians, not with heathens. Okay, perfecting holiness in fear of God. You know, the perfecting doesn't mean that you are perfect. You know, this. If you read the verse in Greek, in Greek there, in the tense there, it's a progressive tense. So it says, you know, progressing in perfection. So there is, this is the ongoing, this is, you know, a work in progress that takes place within us, but we have to be working on this. It's not that we just put the sign, work in progress, and do nothing and go around doing other things. Well, you can see that sometime on the street, but that's not what we have to do. I won't go there. Amen? See, remember, he said, when we do this, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, just before, he said that, and also those are the prophets of the Old Testament. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughter, says the God Almighty. I mean, they cannot be any more powerful or any more, you know, explicit than this. You know, when he says the Almighty God, that means, you know, this is it. It's not that, you know, Paul was having a bit of revelation and giving us some understanding. No, this is God speaking to us and says to us, and I will be a father to you. Not something, some, you know, strange thing out far away, ready to squash you and ready to hurt you, because you just missed the point. And you have to run away from. You run to him because he's daddy. Abba, Father. Hi, Daddy, come here. Let me hug you. Hello. This is what has to be manifested. Hallelujah. Now, when we come to this realization, something has to happen within us. Something that's going to be motivating. See, the what has to happen? We should start getting motivated about following God, about letting God do the work in us that needs to be done, because we know that we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. The Lord is good. And He is a powerful, holy God. Well, I'm afraid we have to cut it off now. These are too short, you know. But, okay, next week. See, we're going to see some things, you know, this realization, how this, you know, all the different scripture that bring us into a place of closer relationship with the Father, and the transformation that takes place because of the love exchange between us and Him. And the power is starting to be manifested as we are willing to be obedient. You know, it's the same relationship that a good parent know how to relate to his child. You know, there is not just slapping and everything that they do wrong, but that is, you know, there is a relationship between the child and the parent, that there is a mutual trust in which there is a flow of love, a flow of direction, and a flow of affection, and a flow of obedience. They all go together. Somebody needs attention. Praise the Lord. All right, well, we have to close them for tonight, for today. You get anything today? I think we should have a confession, yeah, a confession of faith. Amen? All right. All right. Thank you, Father, for your word and your love, for the fact that you sent Jesus to die for us, shed his blood, take our sins, take our sicknesses, take our pain on himself so that we don't need to take them. I just received that. And I respond to your love by a desire to follow you, to follow your direction, your instructions, your word, to manifest it in my life in obedience to you and what you want, so that I may be the son that you want. I thank you for everything that you have done, and especially for filling me with your Holy Spirit that is within me to guide me, empower me, enable me to become like Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. So to you tonight if you need prayer.